question. This is a comment on a post that was forwarded by Dipti Goyal Mataji in an article. So this is the experience of a Harvard neurosurgeon who had a near-death experience in which he saw heaven and he saw Jesus, and he returned back feeling very inspired with his faith in Jesus vindicated. So what would be a Vedic perspective comment on this? Answer: certainly experiences like this, and especially experiences like these which involve persons of this caliber, persons who are in the core of science, like a neurosurgeon from Harvard Medical School, they do bring a lot of credibility to the transcendental realm in general, and to the reality of spiritual experiences and the reality of the spiritual realm in particularism. That means the love of God and the love of and the reality of life after death. At the same time, we need to be a little careful while presenting evidence of this sort to our friends for 2-3 major reasons. Firstly, I'll talk from the scientific point of view. Secondly, I will talk from the philosophical point of view. And thirdly, I'll talk from the cultural point of view. From the scientific point of view, it is difficult for most scientists to believe as evidence something which is non-repeatable and non-verifiable. So the experience that a particular person had, especially experience of other realms, that is something which nobody else can verify. So I am writing presently a book on reincarnation, and as a part of that I also wrote an article on near-death experiences, which is there on my website and which was also published in Back to God It magazine. So in general, the near-death experiences have various aspects. So you could classify those broadly into earthly and verifiable, earthly verifiable aspects and non-earthly non-verifiable aspects. So non-earthly non-verifiable aspects are what this particular neurosurgeon Dr. Alexander is emphasizing, that he saw heaven and he encountered Jesus or God or whatever. Now apart from that, there are many near-death experiences in which there are earthly verifiable experiences. That means when the person is unconscious at that particular time, that person observes his own body or her own body from an overhead perspective and describes, okay, this is what the surgeon was doing, and this is what this attendant said, and this is how I was, my head was kept, how my hair was shaved. So the most famous near-death experience of this kind is of one Pam Reynolds, who had an aneurysm at the bottom of her brain, and for that purpose she, all the blood from her body had to be drained. Literally the head had to be opened, the heart had to be stopped by artificial heart attack, the blood had to be removed from the body, then the cranium had to be opened, the brain had to be picked out, and then the aneurysm had to be reached and removed, which is a very dangerous and threatening operation. It is called as Operation Standstill, and there is a Dr. Spetzler who is a specialist in this, pioneer in this. And at this time, when the heart is stopped, when there is no blood flow in the brain, when the brain is literally, brain organs are picked up, brain parts are picked out of the body, there is, from the biochemical point of view, no possibility of consciousness. And at such a time, this Pam Reynolds had a near-death experience, and in that experience she actually recalled what the cardiac surgeon who wanted to who was assisting in the operation, the main operation, what that lady said, how the brain surgeon responded, and what all sounds were going on, and what all were the events happening. She described that. Now this is, even Dr. Spetzler said, medically impossible to explain. So this aspect of earthly verifiable aspects of near-death experiences are the most convincing scientific evidence for two reasons. First is that they empirically demonstrate the person was aware even when the person was supposed to be unconscious from the point of view of the functioning of the brain. And secondly, because these are what the patient spoke can be documented and compared with the account that is given of the events by the surgeon. Normally when surgeons perform surgery, especially in reputed hospital, they are expected to keep a report of how things went, and they can actually, there is much documentation of this sort of things available. So certainly the non-earthly experiences may also be true, but they are not as strong evidences as the earthly experiences of sights and sounds which can be verified. So that's why when we quote near-death experiences as evidences for the continuation of consciousness after death, and it's best to focus on those evidences which involve perceptions that are verifiable and that have been verified as accurate by others. Now coming to the philosophical perspective, many of these near-death experiences report visions which are involving mostly pleasant experiences, and the idea of a God of unconditional love. Now whether we look at Christian philosophy, whatever Christian philosophy is there, or whether we look at Vedic philosophy, you know, God's love, God certainly loves us unconditionally, but at the same time, for us to experience His love, there are certain conditions. And the overall message that is conveyed through such experiences, which many people have had, about the afterlife, is that the afterlife is a very pleasant and jolly experience. And that need not necessarily be true. From the Vedic perspective, the Garuda Purana describes that the soul leaves the body. It's an extremely painful experience. It's compared, the pain at the moment of death can't be quantified, but an indication is given by saying that it is like the pain of 40,000 scorpion bites. So we can't really say that whatever visions these people have during their near-death experiences, they are accurate indications of what happens to people after their death. So the jolly nature of near-death experiences, even if they are taken to be true, they need not be necessarily indicators of what comes in the afterlife. The difference between a near-death experience and a death experience could be the difference between a near collision of one car with another car and actual collision with a car between the two cars. So therefore, many people using these sort of experiences paint a very rosy picture of the afterlife, which is not actually in accordance with the essential teachings of the great theistic traditions of the world. Now coming to the cultural perspective, one of the criticisms of near-death experiences which is leveled by skeptics is that in general these experiences are according to one's own cultural expectations. That we say Christians will generally see Jesus, Hindus will see Yamadutas. So overall the idea is that near-death experiences will involve perceptions which are according to one's own cultural expectations and cultural conceptions. So this, the skeptics argue, is a proof that it is just a product of one's cultural imagination, and actually there is no reality to this. Now this need not necessarily be true. It is possible that if we are committed to a particular religious culture, then those who are the patron saints or the prominent teachers or the prominent personalities in the post-mortem journey of the soul, they may be involved in the further guidance of that person. So it's not necessary that everything has to be symmetrical. We also understand there are 14 planetary systems, and there are multiple. It's not that the afterlife is symmetrical and harmonious for everyone. Some people may go up, some people may go down, some people may continue on the earthly planetary system after that. And some people, even when they go up, there are various levels of up. It may not be Goloka, it may be some of it may be Satyaloka, some it may be Janloka, some it may be Sarvaloka, whatever. So it is possible that one's own patron, one's own spiritual guides can meet a person in the post-mortem realm or in the near-death experience time and gives the person some guidance. But again, the cultural relativity of the experiences or the cultural variability of the experiences is often seen as a weakness in the scientific credibility of these evidences. So that is not a weakness when we see it from the broadness of the Vedic philosophical worldview. But generally speaking, these sort of experiences, every religious tradition tries to appropriate them for their own purposes. So the Christians will try to use it for proving how Jesus is waiting for us in the post-mortem realm. But then the Christians say that only the evidence, some of the Christians, not all, many of the Christians who try to appropriate the near-death experiences for their for supporting their religious beliefs, say that that actually those who are not surrendered to Jesus don't have authentic near-death experiences, and their experiences are all false. And actually what they are experiencing, even if their experiences are pleasant, that actually the devil is misleading them. So which becomes quite a bizarre explanation for intelligent people to accept. So that is why, as devotees, we do like to help people who have not yet developed faith in scripture to develop that faith by providing supporting empirical evidence. And near-death experiences are definitely a powerful empirical evidence in that direction. At the same time, we need to be discriminating in understanding which evidence has what kind of implications. So from the scientific point of view, those evidences that are earthly, those aspects of these experiences that involve earthly and verifiable and verified perceptions, they are the most scientifically credible. From the philosophical perspective, experiences that convey God's love unconditionally may be indicators or prompters for a person to reform his or her life and become more devoted to God. But if they are seen as blanket endorsements of a happy afterlife for everyone, then that can be a dangerously misleading picture of the afterlife, which can make people complacent about preparing themselves for the final exam of death by progressively detaching themselves from matter and attaching themselves to God. And thirdly, the cultural variability of these experiences needs to be understood from a broader philosophical perspective than is available with most religious traditions. So the Vedic tradition is able to accommodate that, and we need to be able to explain this to people when we provide these evidences. Thank you again for forwarding this, because this involves a person in this particular evidence involves a person with respected scientific credentials. It is a valuable piece of evidence that with proper cautions can be used to boost people's faith in the existence of an afterlife. So near-death experiences generally just explain to us that there is an afterlife. Past life memories show that there is not just one afterlife, there can be many afterlives. And so near-death experiences can be used as evidences by Christians, Muslims also who do not believe in reincarnation in the mainstream. But for us within the Vedic tradition, the strongest empirical evidences would be of past life memories, because they not only prove the afterlife, but they prove the repeatability of afterlife. Thank you.